Yo,
Hi, Joshua.
what's up, Carla?
How's we doing? How's we feeling? It is Thursday. The month is ending. My back is hurting. What are the vibes?
Wow, the vibes are vibing. It's good vibes. Tomorrow's Friday. I know some of the people out there getting paid, getting some
I
money.
already drank two margaritas today because I was like, I can't.
Yeah. I heard how Carla margarita. She said margaritas. Egregious. Damn, let's see. But yo, I'm doing good, and it sounds like you're doing good, and it sounds like you're feeling good.
There were Henny margaritas, okay?
Henny margaritas? You got the Henny Margs?
It was a
No,
vibe.
no way.
Oh my God, yes. Yes way, Joshua.
Yes way, yes way, yes. Oh,
No, but who are we?
wow, we are.
We are welcome to WTF Latinx, the podcast where Josh and Carla, aka me, talk about everything Latinx culture related, from food to superstitions to history, to current news to the most important of all.
Chancletas, coño.
You took a little long there, but I appreciate the energy.
Listen, guys, we still don't have a sound effects board, and I'm still the one making all the sound effects.
I'm
So,
still in college, struggling financially, but we can do this.
wow, we get money, you know the vibes.
Welcome everyone, and we have a very special episode today. How's
Yeah,
your mental health?
honestly, I'm not gonna lie to you, my mental health has been up and down. Like, yo, the other night, I started going to sleep at like 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning,
Yo.
and after like 4 or 5 days of that shit, my brain, I was having the weirdest thoughts. I was like getting anxious. I started feeling whack. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yo, we had the time change, and originally I was like, oh, it's whatever, like it's just an hour difference, which was like a week and a half ago, or a week, I don't even
Yeah,
remember. It
no,
wasn't that long though, a couple days. And I was like, okay, you just lose an hour during the night, like it's fine. So I woke up a little cranky and I was like, whatever, it's been a week, I can't sleep at night. It's like 10, 12, 1, and like I'm anxious. Just like I turn off my TV because I'm like, oh, the phone's a distraction. Turn everything off. I just stare at the wall with no sleep, like not tired. But that alarm rings at 6:30 in the morning. I fucking, oh my God, I want to throw myself out.
Carla just be staring at her phone like, if you ring one more time, bro, if you
I'd
ring.
be snoozing it. Then I'm running late. Then I'm mad. It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. So I'm
Yeah.
like, I can't sleep. And then originally I was like, oh, it's because of the time change. Honestly, I just think it's stress. I think I'm so burnt out because of school that like my brain's not here. Like I'm here. I can feel like la ojeras. Like, you know when the ojo hinchado,
You say
like your eyes are bloated.
I when it starts to puff up and shit.
Like I have puffy eyes. I wake up in the morning and like I have puffy eyes with bags under my eyes. And like I've never in all of my life, of all the sleepless nights, this week in particular, like my eyes are puffy all the time and I'm stressed out and like not sleeping makes me more stressed out. So
No, of course. I feel like especially our WTF episodes where we're trying to like we're educating ourselves, but we also want to educate, the
yeah,
audience.
because as Latinos, we look into these things, but we're learning with you. The material that we bring is not something that we know all the time.
Like some things we're well versed in, but other things we're like really curious about. And, like the podcast is that vessel for us to like, explore.
Amen to that.
You
And
feel me?
speaking of exploring,
Oh, segue time. Carla, do you
I'm
want to tell?
like segue. I'm excited for today's episode topic because I want to dive in into a little bit deeper of the, I don't know if it should be like
Hold up.
Vatican secrets,
Right.
female oppression in Catholic religion.
No, I feel like we should keep it something more vague, Like
I know.
I like Vatican secrets.
But like I want to talk also about like religious secrets. Religious, Catholic religious secrets.
Wow, let's call it that.
Okay, that's it. But that, this is how we make decisions in this podcast, people.
Yo, y'all heard it live right now. Me and Carla, we having a whole, like, we having a building session.
So this whole week, right, it's been brought to my attention that I saw this TikTok, and I actually double searched it. So
that's, I yo, like, is, all it takes is one TikTok video, and then we have a whole episode.
Yo, literally, all it takes is one TikTok. So there's this TikTok by this girl named Chiao Sasha. C-I-A-O Sasha.
Yo no me sé el nombre de ella, pero el TikTok de ella es very inspirativo.
Yeah, so she's talking about like conspiracy in the Vatican. And I saw this at night, of course, another reason why not to sleep.
Question, were you off the Henny? Yes or no?
No, I was off this work stress though.
Yeesh.
And she's talking about how she doesn't understand how people aren't talking more about the Vatican scandals about finances. And I'm like, that's interesting. And the Vatican is very interesting to me. Like, I feel like a lot of Latinx households grow up on Catholic religion. We've just been, it's the only way I know. I don't know many other religions that like surpass in Latin communities, and maybe there are, and I just don't know of them. Everyone kind of has that base of Catholic, and then they spread out to other ones. If that makes sense. Like, even when we did this Santeria episode, yeah, so even Santeria was aligned with Catholic religion. Like, they would practice Santeria and go to church on Sundays. So,
church on Sundays.
And a lot of Latinx households. So the Vatican is something very intriguing to me. There's a lot of secrets. There's a lot of history. There's a lot of power. There's a lot of relationship with royalties. There's a lot of things that I don't understand, but I think are crazy. So I'm like, that TikTok's really interesting, huh? Let me look into it, right? Vatican City.
The Basilica, I think it's called.
Fine. This is live Googling, y'all.
Yo, we doing the Googles. It's where the ASAP yams.
Yo, we do what we preach. So Vatican City, bad finances. And so what I see, there's an article by the New York Times that says Pope Francis strips powerful Vatican office of its official, of its financial, what is it, of its financial, a financial asset. But I can't read it because I have to pay for it, apparently.
Jesus Christ. You see how they try to get us?
Yeah. But basically, my overall understanding of this is when Pope Francis took the position, apparently the Vatican was in a really bad position financially because they've been buying a lot of unnecessary properties in very elite locations in the world. France, England, wherever.
What's the science behind that? Why is the Vatican investing in
property? So again, my understanding of this, I was trying to read the article, but it's not letting me, is there's some involvement of money laundering or some sort of like sketchy stuff going on with that. So the people in power before were taking the money. And usually the Vatican does a good job of like upholding themselves with like the Vatican Museum and things like that and tourists. But with the COVID-19, there's no tourists. Like there's a very small amount of people traveling.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's all
right. They have a dip in those finances. And what did they realize? The money that they thought they had for savings and things like that, that money's not there. So apparently there's a lot of officials that are currently under investigation. But because it's a Vatican, that's all we can know. We don't know. It's its own estate, like its own country. So we don't know what happens in there or how they carry that investigation. Like, we don't know.
It's interesting since they abide by their own laws. It's like, who's really conducting that investigation? And like, who's to say that the person conducting that investigation isn't conducting it in the favor of whatever truth wants to, the Vatican wants to tell?
I don't think, this is a personal opinion, I don't think the Pope Francis has anything to do with it. But I think it's corrupted. I think everyone around him couldn't be knowing what's going on and he's trying to figure it out, you know?
Think about it. Like when you, it's like when you go to a new job and you pull up and you over here trying to be mad professional and nice and you find out that everybody at your job place is like corrupted, everybody's scheming, doing shady shit on the side. It's like, how do you change that as the new person? You don't.
Yo, that's true.
Think about it. Like, you pull up and it's like, oh, damn. Yo, Fulanito taking shit out the back. This dude's doing this. This lady's
stealing pens.
Stealing pens.
The boss.
Oh, so we taking the company car. Like, it's like at some point, it's like, damn, okay, so I could do all that. And I feel like even just knowing that you could get away with all that, it's kind of like the allure is there, and having that
power.
And also,
the only person that's supposed to have that power is Pope Francis, because he's the Pope. So he's supposed to have unlimited access to, like, finance. Like, he can do whatever he wants with the Vatican money. But there's no money for him to do anything with. So,
interesting.
Whoever's making those decisions must be, like, well-versed or something. But anyway, so I found this information, and I sent it off to Josh, and I'm like, yo, what is going on here? Like, and we start talking. And boy, oh boy, Joshua.
Guys, we went down the rabbit hole.
I got a story to rant to you about.
Talk to me. Put me on.
So, during all of this, I sent Joshua this video. I'm looking for the name of it.
Because video is an understatement. Carla sent me a whole documentary.
Well, I mean, I want to call it that.
Right, anything that's over 30 minutes is a documentary.
This one was like 10 minutes, 25 minutes. Okay, never mind.
No, that's an episode.
It's an episode. So I sent him from the BuzzFeed multiplayer 3 Hilarious Terrible Popes episode, where they talk about a demon pope, a purple pope, and all that. And they talk about the history of popes, the 3 worst. And there was one that would have orgies, and he would reward the first one that would make women come in this orgies with the Pope. I'm just like, but like, the Catholic Church has a wild history. Like, oh. I understand people that are religious and believe in their Bible, but I hope people are educated enough to be aware of its history and, like, sinners, popes being sinners, and the history of child abuse. And, like, all the stuff that's involved with the church today that we know now. It's just wild.
How does that shit make you feel?
It's just wild.
Like growing up, like, did you grow up as a person that was, like, super religious? Like, was your mother enforcing religious beliefs on you?
No, and thank fucking God. So my mom grew up Christian Catholic. Going to church Sunday, every Sunday, and all that. Because she was forced to go, raising me, she didn't want to enforce a religion on me. So she was Catholic, and my dad was evangelical. I don't know how to say that.
Evangelist. I can't even say it in
Spanish. Yeah. I would hear them argue, and I still remember about the different beliefs, because my mom believes in saints and, like, angels, and there's a lot of things that she believes that he didn't, which he didn't want around me. So it gives you a perspective of who's right and who's wrong. Well, he's saying the saints are wrong, but his behavior isn't right. God wouldn't approve of a man talking to a woman in an aggressive manner because of his beliefs. You know, so it's like, I don't know, people are very passionate about their religions. But basically, so I sent that video to Josh about 3 terrible popes, and there's even more popes that committed sins and just kind of got away with it because of their position.
Sins is an understatement. These motherfuckers is conducting egregious acts against their religion. They are the complete opposite of what the Bible says you should be. Especially if you just, like, a believer in the Bible. Like, these dudes are, they fucking wolves and sheep.
They're supposed to be incarnating the body of Jesus Christ.
You're supposed to be Jesus, technically, right? Walking on earth. And you really Lucifer, chilling.
Damn. Tell me how you really feel.
I'm just saying, bro. I feel like you can't be the Pope and like and host an orgy where you hand out prizes. Like that just don't make sense to me.
Yeah. And he had naked statues of people that would make others uncomfortable. And he was like, yeah.
No. Yo, right. Because I was watching the video recently. He had people that were posing as statues naked in like crazy sexual positions. And then they were covered in glitter and gold.
He knows how to party. You gotta give him that though.
He knows how to have a good time. I ain't gonna lie to you. But like it just
is he the same one that would like tell his like soldiers or captains or whatever to bring their best like to come with their wives and then he would fuck their wives in front of them?
I don't remember. I believe so though.
I can't remember if it was him or someone else. But that's the type of thing that they would do. So I've gone on this like Vatican Pope Catholic dive, and I ended up watching this thing that's on YouTube. Let me see what it's called. It's called Children of Shame, and it is a full church conspiracy documentary by the channel I Love Docs. And so it says this was a documentary that was from Ireland in spring of 2014. When there was a hidden mass grave containing the remainders of some 800 children were discovered in the former grounds of a home for single mothers. And I didn't know what to expect. What I was just kind of on my lunch break. I was kind of like, I'm going in this, like, I had already watched like three videos of like, popes that have been doing sin like in the name of religion. So I started watching this. What was your question?
Nah. In my head, I'm just like, how do they discover like all these quote unquote children? I'm pretty sure somebody knew about this shit.
So this is the thing. As I was watching this, everyone knows, but the government doesn't want to admit it because the government is highly religious. Like over 80% of their schools are like Catholic schools. So everyone believes in God and they're scared to confront the church, which they consider the law. So they're not going to acknowledge the fact that something very traumatic happened there.
No, of course, you're not going to acknowledge that like people are living oppositely to what they're supposed to, or at least like religious wise.
Yeah. So let me tell you a little bit about like the fast turn. So 2014, there's this like magazine that's like, yo, there's this old building that used to be a home for single mothers. And what is a home for single mothers? It was a place where if you were pregnant out of wedlock, they would bring you and they would treat you like a prisoner. You would give birth there. You would work for free or low, or very like low cost on these like in location institutions.
Uh-huh.
As soon as you gave birth, they would take your child away from you and they would give it to adoption to other Irish or American families, at least for this documentary. I bet there was other places that gave them all around the world. And when they give these children for adoptions, they would sell them to the highest bidder, basically. So, and this was all against the consent of the mothers in the name of God. Damn. So it's fucking wild. And Damn. It's everything that's wrong with oppressing women and like trauma, religious trauma. And just, it's just so like disgusting. It's like,
My question is, right? Like the sex that these women were having, was that shit even consensual?
Yeah, so it would be consensual, but it's like after they were pregnant, if their husband died or if the person was already married or if they didn't want to get married, The man would not be punished. It's the woman that would be forced into this institution, como si fuera un manicomio, like against their will.
Like an internment camp.
Yeah.
That's fucking wild to me, bro. What?
And so some of the cases start very early. So it was like 30s and 40s, which I'm like, in my head, I'm like, okay, that makes sense. And then they start talking about the 60s and 70s. And I was like, wait, that wasn't that long ago.
No, that's like 35 years ago.
My mom was in her 20s around that time. So, like, that could have happened to my mom.
That shit could have happened to anybody. Any one of our aunties. Anybody that we
it's
know.
It's fucking scary. So basically, people that lived around the area kind of always knew that there was something weird going on. And they tell the stories about, like, certain kids who would, like, play around the area. And if they fell on the fence or, like, they were playing on, like, what's it called? Like, the La Tubería that are near the house and things like that. Uh-huh. Some of them would, like, trip falling, and then they would see things wrapped around towels. And they would get scared and run away. And so they always just knew that there was something not right, because that looked like a cadaver. It looked like they would just wrap these dead babies in towels, and then they would bury them in the backyard of this thing. Oh, should I put like a disclaimer?
Yo, we might have to put a disclaimer.
I didn't think about this until I'm like, ooh, dead baby in a towel. A disclaimer for strong language, graphic, recounting details, and just strong content that could be triggering for some, especially when it has to do with titled children. Listener discretion is advised. Sorry, I forgot that part, but we put it in there. Oh my god, it was so wild. So then you have some people telling their stories, and there's this guy, and he's like, I was a kid here. And he grew up in this institution. He's like, not only would they treat the women that were here badly, but the children that were born there, that were giving off to adoption or whatever. Growing up there, like, if you didn't wash your hands in the sink that had your name, they would give you the belt. And so this institution in particular, it was run by nuns. Mm-hmm. And then there was another recounter that was talking about how she'd seen, like, nuns push children off windows.
So you're talking about
they were just fucking killing children. Oh my god, this documentary as well. Again, Children of Shame, and it's on YouTube. So if you guys want to see it, you can kind of get more.
Bro, so you're literally talking about women, right? Women, nuns. Nuns.
Yeah. The impersonation of purity and the followers of God killing children.
Basically going against their natural instinct of being motherly and kind and loving towards children. And they just straight...
That's debatable, because there's this perspective that women always have to be motherly. And if they're not motherly, there's something wrong with them. So I don't even want to say motherly, but when you're a nun, you're choosing to protect those and, like, enforce the word of God. And they're pushing children off windows.
It's interesting how the word of God can be interpreted in that manner, to where, like, if you're not...
Where they justify it, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Where I can justify murder as long as it's in the name of God, because you've somehow neglected to follow rules that I'm abiding by that are in the Bible, just because I'm interpreting it a certain way.
Yep. Oh my God, yes. There was another one that would say that nuns would push her, bully her, so other children would laugh at her.
The nun out here giving...
The nun would take her to her room, sexually abuse her, bring her to the room with the other girls, and say that she's been a bad girl.
Yo, I don't want to laugh.
No, stop. There's just something so, like, it's a kid. It's triggering. Like, it's a kid. It's a baby. It's a child. Ugh.
That shit is cool.
So the guy that was, like, he grew up there, and they would hit them if they didn't wash their hands in the sink that had their name. And he was like, it was just harsh.
Bro, this
shit. And he grew up with a hard life, because he had, like, six families. He was given for adoption multiple times. And these families would pay money to the nuns, but that money wasn't given back to the institution. Like, the children were hungry, the mothers were dying. So where did that money go? No one knows.
I'm quiet because I'm thinking. I'm just like, yo. this is where all the shady stuff comes into play.
It's yeah, like, there's a lot of shady shit. And I'm not saying, because I don't want this to come off the wrong way, because I'm specifically like paraphrasing in my own words this documentary. Like, there's far more and it's more unbiased. It gives you more facts and maps and things. But from my perspective, it's just kind of like, not all institutions, not all religious leaders are this way. But once people are in power, they tend to act a certain way. They tend to believe that they can get away with it.
I said before, power corrupts. There's certain people that fall into these positions of power that just, like, I don't know. I feel like however the world has wronged them, they unleash their wrath upon the people around them.
Absolutely.
I feel like children and women become the scapegoats for them to just, you know, to just do that shit, just do all that wrong shit, man.
Absolutely. And so the rest of, so that's some of it. It's just like the children were abused and then the mother was abused. There was a story. It was fucking shocking to me because I can't imagine being that woman. So she got pregnant. Uh-huh. In Ireland, and she was brought to this institution and she ran away and she escaped to Britain, and she was hiding with her aunt there, and as she was hiding there, nuns from this institution went to Ireland, told her that she was leaving with them, brought her to the airport and brought her to this institution, locked her up like it was like a health center. And she believes that like her family like ratted her out, basically, like they called the nuns because it was so shameful. The vocabulary that religious leaders would use were like legal terms. Mm-hmm. So it was so shameful to know someone that was pregnant out of wedlock that you didn't want them close to you. So they think they just called the nuns to get rid of her. And she was saying that like in all the years that I've been alive, not once has my family ever asked me what I experienced in there. And so basically she was pregnant. She had to work. She had her kid. And as soon as she birthed him, it was a son. They took the child and he was given to a family that same week.
It's crazy because it seems like that type of behavior was like normalized in that century. Like,
but it's not even that long ago. It was like 50, 70 years. It's just one lifetime ago. Like our parents' time. It's just crazy.
But to think how archaic the mindset was in like 1930, and like, yo, if you weren't married to the person that you're having a baby with, that was a sin, and you were already deemed like unvaluable as a human.
Well, that's the thing that I like about this documentary is my mom's always been a little bit more on the free spirit side.
Yeah, mine's
too. And she's always hated religion, and she has seen it as like being tied down. You're signing a contract to marry a man, et cetera, et cetera. Because she always saw her friends like get married or whatever, and if they were in domestic violent relationships, that never ended well. Especially in Dominican Republic, like there's a lot of deaths that come from domestic violent relationships. So she was like, I'm not gonna get married because I don't wanna give the right of someone to kill me. And I never understood that. I was mommy, it's just the paper. Like, it's just marriage. Like, it's not a big deal. And I didn't understand her fear. And, like, just listening to these stories of these women that were like, no, you had to get married. Like, you had to. Not even if you wanted to. Because not doing it meant that you suffered, that your family suffered, and that your children would suffer.
That shit is so crazy to me.
Right?
I can't wrap my head around that. Just
And this makes sense. I hope some people are listening to this episode and having like a moment of like, if your parents are very traditional and religious and tell you and strict,
This is probably
I'm
what.
not saying it's healthy, but they grew up in a time where if they didn't do it, they were scared for your life. Not everyone, but like, it's just like, ooh,
This
like you
was like,
have to follow the church because the church is the law.
this was definitely reality for some of our great great grandmothers.
No, just grandmother. Like, it wasn't that long ago. I'm talking about the 60s, 70s. This was still happening.
Wonder, but was it still happening to that same extent?
Yes.
Because I haven't watched the documentary, so I can't, like, what?
No, yeah, you can't. Because this documentary came in 2014 of things that were happening on the 70s and 80s and all that.
Okay, so that is fairly, that's right around the corner. That is one of
Yeah,
my
it's
grandmother's.
like not even that old. That's the part that's scary to me is like when my mom was 20, she had to choose between being married or like being shunned by society and putting me at risk.
Even me as a male, I feel like my mother low key, she kind of tried to instill some of those values, like in those ideologies, just because they were already instilled in her. Definitely a lot. I want to say I was a free thinker as a child. So when shit didn't make sense to me, I'd be honest. I'd be like, yo, that shit don't make sense to me.
Yeah. So it's just like wild. It makes me really sad because these people, they like, their lives were stolen from them. And so part of the investigation is they're trying to understand what happened here. They were abused by the nuns, they were like underfed, and these children by sickness, by like eating disorders or like by treatment would die. So the nuns were burying them in the like building. So there's this archaeologist, I can't remember her name, but she had been wondering, huh, we know stuff has been happening there, but just how many? So she started looking into the properties like that, like space and into the history of it. And she started looking into paperwork and she actually did find 800 name baby names, a birth certificate, like of death certificates. So that could be more.
Oh, those were the ones that were actually documented.
Yeah, those were the ones that were documented.
Imagine all
So
those people
there could be
documented.
more, and that's when she brought that to like the press because no one wanted to talk about it. And if this was a thing, if nuns were killing children, why
What
is
else is
no one being upheld responsible? Why aren't they asking for forgiveness? Why aren't they preventing this abuse? Because they're part of the church and they're protected. That's why.
This shit all trickles down. Protected by who?
Themselves, power, money.
This is all too much, man. It's interesting. It's interesting
Yeah, it
how,
was a really good like documentary. And
like,
so
the layers of corruption is what interests me. I feel
what
like
interests.
the layers of it, like, that's just one layer. And then you go from the nuns to the priest, and you see the egregious acts that the priest are committing. And then you go even higher than the priest, and you go higher than that, and you go all the way up to the Pope, and you have
And they
Pope
all know what they all know, and they cover each other. Yeah,
and
I remember
everybody.
watching another art. Oh my God, another documentary that's on Netflix. I can't remember the name, but it's about this nun that was a teacher, and she disappeared. And then, as you're watching the documentary, I don't want to spoil it, but there was more going on than what meets the eye. And I guess there was some priests from that same school that were abusing their power with minor females. And that nun was going to expose him. And then there's this whole like net of people that knew. And in the investigation of her death, they just kept finding more and abuse reports of the children. So religious institutions that have to do with kids, and I'm saying all religions. I don't care what religions you practice. Gives me bad vibes.
Your question.
Gives me bad vibes.
This is kind of in the same vein. As a higher ed major, at what point did they remove religion from schools?
Not very long ago.
Do you know that? Because I'm kind of curious. Because it makes sense to me why you'd want to remove religion from schools, especially like with shit like this going on.
You mean from like the curriculum? I'm trying to think.
I don't know. I'm curious. This is probably a topic for another episode. We're going to have to research this.
I'm Googling.
You doing the Googles?
Who took religion out of schools by npr.org? All right,
let's see what
in 1962.
Okay, so damn, that wasn't that long
ago. It says the U.S. Supreme Court banned school-sponsored prayer in public schools on 1962, saying that it violated the First Amendment. But students are allowed to meet and pray on school grounds. When was Christianity removed? 1963, they established what is now currently the prohibition of state-sponsored prayer.
That's interesting. Hold up. I was just curious because I feel like people that probably weren't as religious or children that weren't as religious and that were probably more open-minded were probably subjected to like harsher treatment by teachers and by like other people.
Because they don't believe what the teachers believe, so I'm gonna teach you with pain, and they would like beat them.
Yeah, I'm gonna criticize you. I'm gonna make you feel like you're crazy.
You're not like me. I'm gonna make you like me. Yeah.
Yeah, like it's wrong. It's wrong to not believe in God.
Yeah.
God, it's because you believe in Satan and because you're evil, and it's like that's just crazy. That type of mindset is just diabolical. That's just destructive, bro.
Okay. So I'm reading an article by pewforum.org. It says, beginning in the 1960s, the court handed religious conservatives a series of major defeats. It began with the landmark of the 1962 ruling, Angel v. Vitale. That's the one about the prayer. Even non-sectarian prayer violated the Establishment Clause, since the Supreme Court had pushed forward from banning organized Bible reading from religions and moral instruction in 1963. Prohibiting school-sponsored prayers at high school football games in the 2000s.
That's right. That's like 20 years ago, 21 years ago.
That's like, I was like four.
I was like six, no, seven.
And these and other court decisions, the court has repeatedly stressed that the Constitution prohibits public schools from indoctrinating children and religion, but it is not always so easy to determine exactly what constitutes indoctrination or school sponsorship of religious activities. For example, can class on the Bible as literature be taught without a bias against the idea that the Bible is a religious truth? Because if you're teaching, this is like personal thought, if you're teaching the Bible, the Catholic Bible.
Mm-hmm.
What about the other Bibles?
Interesting.
Then you're only teaching one, showing children that this is the preferred method of religion, putting one above the others. So I like how they're like, if you're teaching one, how can you do that in an unbiased manner?
You can't though. You can't, because regardless of what religion you are drawn to, there's a lot of overlapping themes and there's a lot of similar characters. And I feel like the main disagreements with some religions are who the messenger is. Like, some believe that Jesus wasn't the messenger. Some believe that he was something else. And it's like, you end up clashing in those ideologies, and you don't allow people to think freely.
Absolutely.
I'm not too religious myself, so I don't really get into religion.
For example, yeah, me neither, but I think diving into it, it's a big part of our identities that just, at least me personally, it helps me understand why my mom's the way she is, why my aunties, why do I have to dress modestly? Why do I have to be afraid of God or behave in a certain way that, like, I will be punished? Like, if I'm not pure, if I'm not holy, this makes me less of a respectable human being, and which is not true. But why did they believe that? Why is there so much fear to the Catholic Church? And they have so much power and could hurt so many people. It's like, oof.
To think, right? Like, a lot of these stories have been circulating by word of mouth way before the internet.
Yeah.
Because I've grown up understanding and knowing, like, yo, I don't play with the nuns because the nuns don't play games. And I would hear stories about nuns in nuns in Catholic schools in DR and how they would, like, run the schools and how strict it was.
It's scary. And it says, so then they were trying to specify, like, what consists of religion? Like, a valedictorian thanking God for graduating. Like, is that considered too religious for a high school, like, institution? Or can students be compelled to participate in Christmas-themed music programs without it being two religions because Christmas is Christian? And it just got off in a back and forth. But long story short, 1960s was around the time when religious wasn't required but still influential. Mm. Which, again, our moms were born in the 60s. Think about it. Think about, if that's our moms, think about how our grandmothers.
Bro, they were fully immersed into it. That was all they knew.
They would go to class and pray in class and go to the church on Sundays and fear they needed to get a husband so they could not be, like, ashamed to society. And it's just so crazy.
That's what made you a good woman. That's what made you a good everything.
Mm-hmm.
You had to, you know, Bible studies, you have to know what you know, you have to know your Bible from cover to cover. It's interesting.
Absolutely.
It's a lot of those ideas are, like, I feel like they've definitely faded away. It's not as strong anymore.
Because of leaders like that, like, when I see these documentaries, it's like the church representatives, like, they represent the church whether they like it or not. Their actions speaks for the church.
It does.
When you have these leaders stealing money from the church to buy properties, money laundering, abuse of children, rapes by priests, physical abuse by nuns,
mental abuse,
that's not a religion I want to be part of. I don't want to be part of something that just hurts children for not being exactly like them and obeying, because children aren't servants.
That's a fact. And I have a personal self-belief is that the Bible is not meant to be taken literal. It is
something. Yeah, I don't think so either. But I think that's a very new, like, our generation thinks that. I don't think the one before us were taught very different.
100%. But this, I feel like we could speak about this for hours. And, like,
I know I could spend hours talking about this, but that's it for today, guys. Thank you so much for listening to our podcast. If you want to see more information about our episodes, you can go to our WTF Latinx Instagram, WTF LATINX, and you can kind of see the really cool designs that Joshua has going on for all of our episodes. If you have any ideas, you can comment, give us a little feedback, give us a few ideas, and we'll talk to you guys in the next one.
Y'all stay tuned, everybody.
I'm waiting for it, Josh.
Boom!
No. Bow. Just do it again.
Bow!
There we go.